Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're doing a deep dive into some interesting source material from a university module, NLU CSS 100.0F2. It's all about computational thinking and pseudocode.
Right. But don't let those terms scare you off. This isn't really about, you know, learning to write lines of code necessarily.
No, not at all. We're looking at the core architecture, the way computer scientists actually define and tackle problems. Any problem, really.
That's the mission here. Yeah. We want to pull out that structured way of thinking because, honestly, it applies way beyond just programming. Think careers like video game design, even just planning your day.
And the sources themselves, they really emphasize this. They come from this university course, CSS 100.0F2, and they make a strong point.
Mm.
A professional's value isn't just coding skill.
Exactly. It's the ability to problem solve. Using these technologies. That's the key skill.
It's a bit of an identity shift, isn't it? Moving beyond just programmer.
Totally. And a big part of that is understanding the difference between talking to a person where there's context and, you know, guesswork.
Right.
And talking to a machine, which needs everything spelled out perfectly, literally.
Precisely. We'll unpack how you structure any problem, big or small, using that machine-like discipline. From messy ideas to concrete steps.
Okay, let's jump right into that identity shift then. The sources say you are more than a programmer, you are a problem solver. What's the main tool for that solver?
It's the algorithm. We hear the word all the time, right? But at its heart, it's just a really detailed step-by-step set of instructions.
Instructions for people or machines?
Both, potentially. But crucially, for computers, it must be finite. It has to end, and it has to give you the intended result.
And ideally, efficiently, right? Least amount of time or resources.
Yes, efficiency is always a goal. But finiteness is non-negotiable for a computational algorithm.
So if it's just instructions, what makes computational algorithms different from, say, following a recipe? Why the intense focus on precision?
Ah, that's the communication divide we mentioned. If I give you a recipe and you're out of flour, you might substitute something, right? You
get No, I can improvise.
A machine can't. Zero improvisation. Zero inference. It needs every single step laid out explicitly, unambiguously, in a language it understands.
Which is ultimately just ones and zeros.
Exactly. We have to bridge that gap from our abstract human language, like saying, be efficient, down to those electrical signals.
And that's where the whole programming language abstraction hierarchy comes in. Such a useful way to think about it, down at the bottom, touching the hardware.
You've got machine language,
yeah.
Pure binary, odds and offs, ones and zeros. That's what the processor actually runs.
Okay, step up from that. Assembly language feels a bit mysterious sometimes.
Yeah, it's often glossed over, but it's vital. Assembly is like the direct command list for the CPU.
Yeah.
It uses mnemonic codes instead of raw binary.
Easier than ones and zeros, but still not very human-friendly.
Not at all.
Yeah.
But it's the layer where a compiler or interpreter takes our human-readable code and translates it into instructions the hardware components can follow. Like, move this data here, add these numbers.
So it's the necessary bridge. Without it, we'd all be stuck trying to write binary, which is impossible for anything complex.
Completely impossible. Assembly is that critical translation step.
And then, finally, at the COP, we get the high-level languages, the Pythons, the Javas.
The ones designed for humans. Easy to read, easier to write.
So why do we bother with these layers? Why not just force everyone to learn assembly?
Because the cost, the time, the sheer difficulty of humans writing complex software in assembly or binary is astronomical. It's far, far cheaper and faster to let the machine do the translation work from a high-level language down the ladder.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. It's about human efficiency, really. Which leads us nicely into the whole philosophy behind languages like Python.
Exactly. Why create these easier languages? Because, as the Python philosophy famously states, simple is better than complex. It's a whole design ethos.
Guiding programmers towards code that people can actually understand.
Right. The sources pull out some great lines from the Python poem, these guiding principles. They're useful well beyond coding, I think.
Like, beautiful is better than ugly. Seems objective, but in code it often means clean, elegant structure.
It does. And explicit is better than implicit. Your code or your plan should say what it does directly. No hidden magic, no assumptions.
Because ambiguity kills computational processes, right?
Absolutely. Which ties into another key bit. Simple is better than complex. Complex is better than complicated. Your problem might be complex, but your solution shouldn't be needlessly complicated. Aim for simplicity in the structure.
And maybe the most important one for our discussion today, readability counts.
This is huge. If only the original author can understand the code or the plan, it's already fragile. It's hard to fix, hard to update, hard to collaborate on.
A non-readable algorithm might be finite in theory, but good luck debugging it when something goes wrong.
You got it. Readability is practical.
Okay, so we have the mindset problem solver and the philosophy. Keep it readable, keep it explicit. Now we need the actual structure. Yeah. The architect.
And this is, I think, the most powerful takeaway.
Yeah.
It's rooted in how computers are fundamentally designed, that whole von Neumann architecture idea.
It boils everything down to just three stages.
Three non-negotiable stages. Input, process, output.
Let's break those down. Input, what's the data? What's the problem definition?
Process, how specifically are you going to transform that input? What are the steps?
And output, what's the result? What comes out the other end?
And the genius of the von Neumann model, the reason it's stuck around, is the stored program concept. The instructions, the process, live in memory right alongside the data, the input.
Which forces determinism, right?
Exactly. For a given input, following that stored process must produce the same predictable output every single time. That's the bedrock of computation. It's also often the hardest thing for us humans to stick to in, you know, everyday planning.
That makes sense. So that first step, defining the input, becomes absolutely critical. It has to be well-defined, practical.
If your input is fuzzy, everything that follows will be too. Our sources had a great comparison. Example A, the good input.
Let me guess, it was specific.
Very specific.
Yeah.
Researching NLU computer science alumni career paths, but limited to 20 specific alumni from the last 20 years.
Okay, yeah. Defined population, time frame, clear scope, manageable.
Now, contrast that with example B, the bad input. Investigate if AI will change all careers for all college grads in the next 5 years.
Whoa, okay, interesting question for a coffee chat maybe, but as an input for a process, that's huge.
The sources call it boiling the ocean. Your scope is so massive, so undefined.
You can't possibly gather all the input data. You can't design a finite process to handle it.
And any output you get will be so vague, it doesn't actually answer the original giant question anyway. It's useless for structured problem solving.
So rule one of computational thinking, shrink the input scope until it's manageable and deterministic. Don't boil the ocean.
Nailed it. Then once you have that tight input, you move to process.
Yeah.
And here, the enemy is the I'll just try stuff approach.
Right, no, just winging it.
The process has to be structured. You need to state how you'll do it. What's the methodology? What are the exact steps for handling the data? What rules turn input into output?
In coding, that means things like flowcharts, pseudocode, specific language steps.
And in a project plan, it means a clear sequence of actions, defined responsibilities, specific methods, not just figure it out.
And the output reflects that difference in approach. The structured example A produces actual findings, data, maybe charts, a clear conclusion related to this specific input.
While the boiling the ocean approach B probably results in some vague essay that touches on a million things but solves nothing concrete.
It's all connected. Input defines process, process determines output.
And this structured thinking even loops back into how we define problems involving people.
Mm-hmm.
The sources talk about humanizing the problem.
Ah, identifying the actors involved. Core, direct, indirect.
Yeah. Who actually has the problem? Who's going to build or implement the solution? Who else is affected down the line?
And framing the need with that structured sentence. The customer needs a way to blank so that blank.
That little template is gold. It forces you to define an action, the way to, and a measurable outcome. So that it locks in the purpose and the required output right at the start.
So if you can define your problem actors and use that sentence structure and then apply the input process output architecture,
you've basically built the mental algorithm you need. You've structured the problem for a solution.
Okay, this is powerful stuff. How does this IPO structure and problem-solving mindset play out in, say, fast-growing tech fields? Let's take video game design.
Oh, perfect example. Think about a modern game engine like Epic's Unreal Engine. It's a massive collection of interconnected algorithms.
A system built on IPO.
Absolutely. Every piece of it, the main editor, the developer tools, the systems for handling 3D models and animation, visual effects, cinematics, each is a complex process designed to take specific inputs and produce defined outputs.
So a game developer using Unreal is constantly feeding inputs, a 3D model, a sound file, a script.
And the engine's processes rendering, physics simulation, AI logic, transform those into outputs, like the image on the screen, the character's movement, the enemy's behavior.
It's running these deterministic IPO loops constantly, very fast.
Exactly. And setting up your development environment, especially if you're using C++ with Unreal, as mentioned in the sources, is itself a highly detailed, structured process. You follow explicit steps.
The sources even mention specific tools, like something called Holtimate or being considered better than, say, Microsoft Standard tools for this kind of work.
Yeah, because those specialized tools presumably optimize the process step. Maybe they help the compiler run faster or make debugging easier. It highlights how critical process efficiency becomes in complex, real-time systems like games.
That level of focus on process makes sense. And this need for structure, for algorithmic rigor, it extends even further, right, to the really cutting edge stuff.
Definitely. Look at a field like quantum software engineering. They're designing quantum algorithms to solve problems current computers can't handle.
The precision needed there must be unbelievable.
Off the charts. In quantum computing, the slightest imprecision, the slightest ambiguity in your algorithm, and the whole thing collapses. Languages like Qiskit, which the sources mentioned, demand incredible explicitness.
And that private investment mentioned the quantum campus coming to Chicago.
It just underscores that this highly structured, deterministic, algorithmic way of thinking is where the future is heading for tackling the hardest problems.
It's fascinating how this core logic applies so broadly, even in improving things that aren't software at all, like redesigning a course.
Right. The sources brought up using Lean Six Sigma ideas like a green card, red card system to spot defects or suggest improvements in the university course design.
And the very first step in that kind of redesign process.
Define the problem. You have to establish the input, what specifically isn't working or needs to change. Without that clear input definition, your improvement process just flounders. It all comes back to computational thinking.
This has been a really insightful dive. Let's try and wrap up the main takeaways for everyone listening.
Okay, I'd say first, own that identity. You're a problem solver, and structure is your superpower.
Second, embrace the philosophy. Readability counts. Be explicit. Avoid unnecessary complexity. Make your thinking understandable.
And third, maybe most importantly, stick to the architecture. Input, process, output. Define your input tightly. Resist that urge to boil the ocean.
Be specific. Be practical.
Exactly. So here's a final thought for you to chew on. We've established an algorithm is just detailed, finite instructions. We've seen the power of input, process, output, and defining the actors.
Humanizing the problem.
Right. So how could applying that framework change how you approach your next big non-coding challenge?
Like planning a really tough presentation, or maybe redesigning how your family handles chores, or improving a workflow at the office.
Yeah. What if you forced yourself to define the precise, deterministic input? What exactly is the problem scope? Then structure the finite process steps. How will you tackle it? And crucially, articulate the measurable, unambiguous output. What does success actually look like? What's the defined result?
Applying that computational rigor, It might just solve half the problem before you even begin the actual work.
It often does. Structure clarifies everything.